Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So if you're like me, I'm vaccinated, had both shots back in April and May, and I'm concerned about a breakthrough case. And, you know, look, you guys know I travel a lot. I have a travel company. I'm going to Ireland in a few weeks. And so I'm not worried about getting sick in the least. I'm worried about trying to travel and testing positive before coming into the U.S. So I've been really focusing a lot on the likelihood of getting a COVID breakthrough case or an outlier case, as Bob Surratt says. And there's new data says that maybe I'm overthinking it. Dr. Robert Murphy joins us now from Northwestern Medicine. He, of course, is an infectious disease expert. And well, he's our expert from time to time. Doctor, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So help me out here. I'll just quote from this story that was on WGNTV.com, but it cites a New York Times story. It says, new data suggests the chance of a vaccinated person getting COVID-19 is probably 1 in 5,000 or 0.02%. The chance may even be 1 in 10,000, and I think that's if you're masked up and keeping socially distant. Are those numbers matching up with what you know?
Yeah, that's the numbers. Look at how many people are vaccinated now. You know, you've got somewhere in the mid-50s% in the city of Chicago being vaccinated, and over 50% in many areas, including the whole state of Illinois. And we have big parts of the state that have vaccination rates less than 20%. So if you look at who's vaccinated, very few of them are really getting sick.
Are very few of them also testing positive, doctor? Because that's my concern.
More of them will test positive than get very sick.
Right.
That's one thing that is true. This Delta variant, it does not keep away infection as well as it did with the other variants that came before it. You know, we had originally, when those trials were done and right after the vaccines were released, we were talking 90-95% protection. Now we're talking more like 70% in that range for getting infection, you know, becoming positive, maybe getting a little bit sick, but recovering.
Yeah, but okay, so that's where the two numbers don't sort of jive for me. So 70% effective, but that's assuming you're exposed to it. So that's 70% effective in that case. So then when we hear this 1 in 5,000 number or 0.02%, that's just being alive, right? That's not so that assumes that you're not necessarily exposed to it, but then if you are, your chances are 0.02%.
Well, yeah, your chances of getting really sick is like 1 in 5,000. That's what it's telling us.
Okay. And your chances of getting testing positive are greater than 1 in 5,000.
Could be. Most likely are greater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how are we doing when it comes to let me ask you one other question. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. I want to get your thoughts and questions, too. I certainly don't mean to monopolize this. I'll ask one more about myself just because.
You're traveling soon, right?
Well, no, but and this is a reason for that. But I think this applies to a lot of people, too. I think I was talking to you before, doctor. In late July, I had what I thought was a summer cold, chest congestion, runny nose, things like that. I even went to my doctor for an unrelated situation, and he said, no, you're fine. It's a cold. And then we talked about that those actually are the symptoms for maybe the outlier breakthrough cases. I'm getting an antibodies test tomorrow. So if I find out that I have the antibodies, that gives me an added degree of immunity as well, correct?
Well, okay. There's a couple things about the antibodies.
Okay.
If you want to find out if you were infected in the past, you need an antibody that tests specifically for the nucleocapsid. That's one of the viral particles, because that has nothing to do with the vaccines. So if the nucleocapsid antibody is positive, you had prior disease. If the spike protein antibody is positive, you don't know whether it's from prior disease or from the vaccine.
So I could be getting a test.
Because you've had the vaccine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah. I could be getting a test that is meaningless.
Well, that's the whole problem with the commercial antibody testing. It's pretty much meaningless in terms of determining how good the vaccine was. Well, it's good for telling whether you were infected in the past.
I'm going to a Northwestern Medicine facility, so I'm hoping for the absolute best. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Let's say hello to Dave. He's got a question for Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern Medicine. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I had Steven Johnson syndrome about 3 years ago, and back in March, my doctor recommended that I do not take the vaccination shots. Has anything changed to relate symptoms with COVID-19 to vaccination shots and Steven Johnson syndrome?
Well, it depends what caused your Steven Johnson reaction.
Doctor,
can
you explain what that is? I don't know that.
Stevens Johnson is a life-threatening allergic reaction. It's fortunately very rare, but people have died from Stevens Johnson. People are very afraid of it. You need to be in a hospital and given very intense supportive care on many occasions. And we have a very severe form of allergic reaction to the vaccines. But again, it's incredibly rare. And it's not necessarily Stevens-Johnson, but it's just as bad. Do you know, sir, what caused your Stevens-Johnson reaction?
Yes, I was on one medication, and then the pharmacy switched to a different brand. And it was Celebrex. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, my wife said it was Cymbalta. So they changed from one, which I was on for 10 years. Got a new one within a couple of days. Instantly, I had its symptoms, and I spent 7 or 8 days in the hospital.
Well, you have to. I don't know the exact ingredients in the medications that you switched to that caused this. I'm very sorry, but I'm glad you survived and everything. You know, but you got to look at the exact ingredients that are in that and see if they match up with the vaccine ingredients. And if they do, there is a chance, you know, that the vaccine could have, you know, a severe anaphylactic type reaction. Anaphylaxis means shock. All right. Not Stevens Johnson, really, by the way. So it takes, you know, somebody's got to sit down and really look at the ingredients of the medicine that caused your reaction and the ingredients in the vaccine and make a determination. Now, there are other vaccines that you can take that have different sets of ingredients. Perhaps maybe the Johnson & Johnson vaccine would be a better vaccine for you, or the upcoming Novavax vaccine, which is the next one likely to be approved. There's 100 vaccines in development. One of them has got to not have the same material as the thing that caused your Stevens-Johnson reaction.
Dave, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Complicated question. Yep.
Yeah, I bet. I had not heard of that before. Okay, Mike is here with the... Mike, I'm glad you called and talked to an authority about this. What's your question? Hey, Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Well, so what's your question for Dr. Murphy?
Thanks, doctor, for taking my call. Yeah, listen, I have Lyme disease. I was bitten by a tick 5 years ago. I have Babesia and Bella. Here's my question. I have not taken the vaccine yet. Here's my my physician told me, he's a naturopath, and he said, well, actually, technically, even if you go to the CDC website, it's not deemed actually a vaccine. He says it's an experimental injection. So my regular practitioner said, no, you need to take the shot to protect yourself because you're compromised. But my other doctor says no, because it's not even really should be labeled as a vaccine. It's an experimental our DNA splicer that's never been done in the history of humanity, and that people should be told that this is an experimental injection. It's not a vaccine. What's your feeling on that?
Okay, first of all, it's not experimental. The Pfizer vaccine is fully FDA approved. These vaccines didn't just appear out of nowhere in January of 2020 when the pandemic started. These vaccines have been developed over the last decade. There is a lot of information about them. None of those vaccines have gotten to market because they were looking at vaccines against stuff like Ebola and stuff like that, that waxed and waned in the number of cases. So the technology advanced to the point that, they could, they finally figured out how to really make these vaccines. And the beauty of the mRNA vaccines is that it's a very quick fix. It's very easy to actually make these vaccines. I mean, easy, relatively, everything's
right, relative. Because they've got the base for it.
Right, they got the base for it. And look how fast those things were developed.
Right.
I mean, incredible. Now, your two doctors are giving you two different opinions, and I can tell you, you need the vaccine.
There you go, Mike.
You need it.
I appreciate you calling and getting the advice of an expert. Good luck to you, Mike.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Dr. Murphy, listen, it's always great to talk to you. We've got to run for the news. I appreciate you putting my mind at ease. I'll bring you back a shillelagh.
Hey, great. Invite me anytime.
All right. Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern Medicine. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine newsroom.